It's true that all the men you knew, power dealers who said they were through with dealing every time you gave them shelter. Well, I know that kind of man. It's hard to hold the hand of anyone who's reaching for the sky just to surrender.
Lately, I've been listening to Leonard Cohen's music. It reminds me of San Diego when I first lived there in the early 2000s. I had nobody. I was far away from home, but I wanted to make music, and I had music to keep me company.
Like any dealer, he was watching for the card that is so high and wild, he'll never need to deal another. He was just some Joseph looking for a manger.
Leonard Cohen was a stylish man. Before he became known around the world as a songwriter, he was already an accomplished poet and novelist. Eventually, songs became another home for his words. Back in San Diego, I took his records with me as I moved from one section of town to the next. Hillcrest, Golden Hill, Bankers Hill, and finally, South Park, where I rented a small house tucked behind a larger one. My back door opened to an alley overgrown with trees that dead-ended at a ravine. And at night, with the door open, I could smell the citron and hear the wild animals stirring in the darkness. I played Leonard's music on my CD player, and somehow, being a nobody, felt okay.
Oh, I want you, I want you, I want you. On a chair with a dead magazine. In the cave at the tip of the lily. In some hallway where love's never been.
Cohen had a remarkable way of noticing things. He once said of Jesus, he may be the most beautiful guy that ever walked the face of the earth. And he called poetry evidence of life. His favorite meal was lamb chops, and his father Nathan was a clothier, and his mother, Masha, the daughter of a rabbi, encouraged him to keep singing and writing and illuminating the hidden words of life.
Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in.
I think the movie The Natural Born Killers introduced Leonard Cohen's music to a whole new generation. And before long, his career found a remarkable second wind, one that carried him for the rest of his life. And then there was Hallelujah.
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care.
John Cale's interpretation helped open the door, and before long, the song belonged to the world. And it's funny how that works. Sometimes it takes another artist to reveal what's been there all along. That's the mysterious power of interpretation. Sometimes another voice gives a song its wings.
Hallelujah.
Leonard Cohen once called poetry evidence of life, and I suppose there's a little of that running through today's show. Over the next hour, we'll hear musicians searching for something in songs, in nature, on the road, and in the places they call home. We'll travel from Prince Edward Island to Scotland, Toronto to Medora, with some live music along the way. And near the end of the show, I'll share a song of my own in memory of a musician we lost here in Medora last week.
Broke your throne, she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
I'm Tom Brousseau. This is the Great American Folk Show. Our first guest, Carrie Lynn, comes to us from Prince Edward Island, the smallest province in Canada, but I'll bet one with just as big a heart. We'll start with a cool little rocker called The Fish Song.
As a country girl growing up in Prince Edward Island, it probably makes perfect sense that I'd end up writing a song called The Fish Song, but I never thought I'd actually do it. Killing Time, or The Fish Song, is all about those small, seemingly insignificant moments that end up shaping who we are. Sometimes the moments that don't feel important at the time becomes the ones we remember the most. I actually wrote this song while visiting my hometown, just for fun, with no real plans of ever releasing it. But after playing it for a few friends, they instantly became obsessed. Then people started requesting it at shows, and every time we played it, it brought this energy into the room that was just impossible to ignore. When I sing it live, I always have fun. I usually start with this dramatic, drawn-out version of the chorus to reel people in before casting them back out into the upbeat song everyone loves. Every show seems to have its own little twist. One time, I even came out in a full fish suit. So this song has always had a playful energy around it, and that's part of what made me realize it deserved a life beyond just something that I played for fun. When it came time to record, I always wanted to capture that feeling. I brought a few friends onto the track and leaned into the East Coast meets Toronto cottagecore rockstar sound that felt true to who I am. In a lot of ways, the song became a bridge between where I came from and who I've become as an artist. One of the first things my producer, Devon Lead, said when we sat down to discuss the project was that while he loved the music I was making, he felt like it only showed one side of me. He said all my songs felt very melancholy, but in real life, I'm a high-energy, optimistic person, and he was passionate about helping me bring that side of Carrie Lynn into my music as well. That's why the song ended up becoming bigger than just a fun fish song. It gave me permission to stop overthinking and simply be myself, not only on this track, but across the entire upcoming EP. And fittingly, the recording process came together just as organically as the song itself. 2 days before heading into the studio, I ran into a fiddle player at an after party. A few beers deep, I asked if she happened to be free that Thursday and wanted to jump on the track. Suddenly, we had this killer fiddle part, and I had a great new band member. Looking back, the whole song feels like a collection of happy accidents that somehow turned into exactly what it was meant to be. In my 20s, I've spent a lot of time traveling, chasing experiences, and figuring out who I am outside of music. Growing up in a small town, I always felt like there was a bigger world out there waiting for me, and I was determined to see it for myself. There were definitely people who doubted me along the way, but I never let that stop me from pursuing the life I wanted. Looking back now, I think little Carrie Lynn would be pretty amazed at where my life has taken me so far. All of those experiences, the places I've been, the people I've met, and the lessons I've learned eventually brought me back to music with a much stronger sense of who I am. That's a huge part of what Killing Time represents to me. It's a reminder that none of these moments were wasted. They were all quietly shaping the person and the artist that I was becoming.
Killing time, making waves, not much else to do these days. Like a fish in the sea, getting hooked is not for me. I'll just wait in the sand while you think you are my man. You're just not the one for me. Ever since I was a little girl, I knew this was a big old world. It wasn't good enough for me. I couldn't wait my life to show the world what I was made of. I just wanted to be free. And when I see you, do you see me killing time, making waves, not much else to do these days, like a fish in the sea. Up all right, but boy, did I put up a fight. I fought the darkness through and through. People can be so mean when they don't believe in the magazines. Now look at me and look at you. And when you see me, you watch me leave. Stuck in your memory, I'll always be killing time.
Thank you.
Greetings to you and your family. I'm Tom, and this is the Great American Folk Show. The convenient thing about broadcasting from Medora, North Dakota, in the summertime is that there are all sorts of cool things happening here and interesting people who come along with them. I don't know if you've heard about the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library, but after years of planning and building and filling it with creative ways to tell the story of Roosevelt and the Roosevelt era, it finally opened. July 4th, 2026, the 250th anniversary of the United States. And since then, it has been packed daily with people from all over. I took my folks there the other day, and honestly, just going for the view and the remarkable architecture seems reason enough. There's a series of Adirondack rocking chairs outside. You can take a load off there when you go. The perfect, comfy Badlands lookout. One of the people who repeatedly stops by the wagon stage, where I can be found, is Tim Hennessy. Back in the early days of A Prairie Home Companion, Tim was part of the house band. He eventually found his way into the medical field, but he never stopped playing music. Medora has become something of a watering hole for Tim as he makes his way from Wisconsin to Montana for fly fishing. He always carries a rod, and he always carries a guitar. And I always have my tape recorder. I met up with Tim at the show hall in Medora for a live session. Two tunes I know you'll enjoy.
Miss the Mississippi in You by Jimmy Rogers. I'm growing tired of the big city lights, tired of the glamour and tired of the sights. In all my dreams I am roaming once more back to my home on the old river shore. I am sad and weary, far away from home. I miss the Mississippi and you, dear. Days are dark and dreary everywhere I roam. I miss the Mississippi and you. Rolling the wide world over, always alone and blue, so blue, longing for my homeland, the muddy water shore. I miss the Mississippi and you. Mockingbirds are singing around the cabin door. I miss the Mississippi and you, dear. Memories are bringing happy days of yore. I miss the Mississippi and you. Rolling the wide world over, always alone and blue, so blue, longing for my homeland, the muddy water shore, miss the Mississippi and you. Nothing seems to cheer me under heaven's dome. I miss the Mississippi and you. Oh, lady, oh, lady, Mississippi and you. I was going to say, this is an old cowboy song that, but I believe was written by some guy in Australia. but I used to sing it with a couple of fellas, and we did it Sons of the Pioneer style. So we did it in total three-part harmony, and it was quite lovely. They were the real deal, and their name was Jack Curtis and Whitey Evans, and it was a great honor in my life to play with those guys. So this is where I've picked this song up, and it's called South of the Border. South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love, where stars above came out to play. For it was fiesta, and we were so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace. Just for a tender while, I kissed the smile upon her face. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray. South of the border, down Mexico way. And she smiled as I whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, for our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white by candlelight she knelt to pray. The mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way. And she smiled as I whispered mañana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered mañana, for our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white by candlelight she knelt to pray. And the mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Ay, 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 ay.
It's the Great American Folk Show, and we're going to keep the voices rolling. Willem James Cowan joins us from his home in Toronto with a live session and new music on the horizon.
Hi there, my name's Willem James Cowan. I'm a songwriter from Ontario, Canada, London, Ontario, Canada. I'm putting a record out towards the end of the summer, and this song is on it. I wrote it a few years ago. I was living in Toronto at the time, and just was kind of struggling. I was writing it when I was putting my last album out, and just kind of struggling with the lack of like engagement and the lack of forward momentum I was seeing. Yeah, that's what the song is based on. It's called Much Left to Say. When I play it live, I say that this is my breaking up with music song, which is not totally true. I guess it's more of like breaking up with the music industry, or like talking about potentially breaking up with the music industry or whatever. But yeah, I mean, the record that is going to come out towards the end of the summer is kind of more or less a breakup album. It's not all about that, but it's definitely focused on, you know, the relationship that I was in when I was living in Toronto, and relationships following that and stuff. And yeah, I mean, dealing with my own stuff as well at the time. You can find me on the internet, and you can listen to the song in its official studio release when it comes out towards the end of the summer. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Willem James Cowan. Enjoy.
Don't have much left. to say.
You just heard a live session from singer-songwriter Willem James Cowan. His new music hits the digital realm very soon. And thank you for that, Willem. Over the years, lots of talent has come our way from Scotland. In addition to showcasing new artists, it's equally fun to be able to do that at the international level. And Stephen McCafferty is sure to impress. The first tune you're going to hear is a spiritual statement. I am the buffalo. It tells me we're hearing an individual looking for answers in nature. As Leonard Cohen might put it, evidence of life.
Hi, I'm Stephen McCafferty. I'm a singer-songwriter from Scotland. I started writing songs when I was 10 years old after moving school. The first friend I made asked me to be in a band, but only on the condition that I wrote songs. I wrote my first song that night and I haven't stopped since. I've always been drawn to songs that ask questions rather than provide answers. A lot of my writing is about love, loss, work, time, and trying to make sense of the world around me. These days I'm a support worker for homeless men, but when I was younger, I spent time homeless myself. I slept in wheelbarrows, on friends' sofas, on canteen floors before eventually ending up in an Edinburgh homeless shelter. I've known both realities, and it's probably shaped how I look at life. You realise pretty quickly that life can change direction faster than you'd like to admit. The hopes, fears and struggles people carry are often far more universal than we imagine. I stepped away from music for a few years and I went to study philosophy. I was looking for answers to some fairly big questions and thought I might find them there. I didn't. What I did find, eventually, was my way back to songwriting. I suspect I'll be asking the same questions for the rest of my life. Songwriting just happens to be the way I've chosen to wrestle with them.
Hey, wait a minute, are you waiting for me to let go? And expecting me to pivot away from the only love that I know? Why should I inhibit the flowers that I want to grow? Allowing my prey to be complicit by boarding up my window. I am the buffalo. Where did all the time go? God only knows. I'll pay for yesterday, tomorrow. There is nothing you can tell me that I don't already know, already know. Desire deficient, still dining on the afterglow. Contriving limits, every single one is self-imposed. Indifference has implicit something of a subtle death blow. You should be chewing nails and spitting rivets, watching your life go by the undertow. You are the buffalo. Where did all the time go? God only knows. I'll pay for yesterday, tomorrow. There is nothing you can tell me that I don't already know, already know. Where did all the time go? God only knows. I'll pay for yesterday, tomorrow. There is nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. already know. I am the buffalo, 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 I am the buffalo. Where did all the time go? God only knows. I'll pay for yesterday, tomorrow. There is nothing you can tell me that I don't already know, already know. Where did all the time go? God only knows. I'll pay for yesterday, tomorrow. There is nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. The silence in need of a distraction, sleeping intimately under the thumb, seeking asylum in a fairground attraction, keeping me adequately numb. Let's keep making money, lots and lots of money, so we can sow the seeds, become a junkie for milk and honey. How much land does a man need? Now I'm digging holes in the sun, sweat dripping down my back, fencing in everything I own. Before the sky turns black, caught in the middle of a summer heat wave. But I know little by little, the money I save will buy me a rich man's grave. Wake the sleeping giant who carries you through that night on the shoulders of a sunken dream. The desperation is quiet on the face of compliance, tripping on prescribed routine. Just keep making money, lots and lots of money, there's no time for every. And maybe if you're lucky, one day if it's sunny, you can get a half day for free. Now I am digging holes in the sun, sweat dripping down my back, fencing in everything I own. Before the sky turns black, caught in the middle of a summer heat wave. But I know little by little, the money I save will buy me a rich man's grave.
I've been thinking a lot about the male-female duet this week after learning about the death of Glenn Hansard, the quintessential Irish musician, quick on his feet, funny, passionate, open-hearted, leader of the Frames, and one of the young stars of the Commitments, as you probably have heard, was killed in a motorcycle accident just outside of Dublin. So many people that have been touched by this man, especially musicians, and those who have witnessed his voice and his pounding acoustic guitar making a street busk soar or a cavernous concert venue like a living room. Bono said to think of Glenn every time he tossed a coin into a busker's guitar case. He was only 56. But of course, Glenn is most famous for being one half of the duo that starred in the wee little indie film, Once, along with prodigy Markéta Irklova. It won an Oscar for Best Original Song, beating out Frozen, if you can believe it.
Take this sinking boat and point it home.
The movie traces a street busker's building up of this song. The moments between Glenn and Marquetta are transcendent and beautiful, and if you haven't seen it, please do. I highly recommend it. But the way their voices blend, Glenn's gravelly Irish with Marquetta's high songbird, is the magic of that song. I've been thinking about other male-female harmonies that I still can't get enough of. There's the underrated and oh-too-short blend of the voices of Mark Olson of the Jayhawks and then partner Victoria Williams.
When we sing together, sing a song that's new.
Speaking of tumultuous couples, how could we not mention Lindsay and Stevie? People are still trying to copy their formula decades after Rumors.
Well, did she make you cry, make you break down, shatter your illusions of love?
You could add Stevie and Tom.
So you had a little trouble in town.
Is there anything more sublime than Johnny and June?
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout.
Or Graham and Emmylou.
In my hour of darkness, in my time of need.
I am a total massive fan of Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings.
Back, baby, back in time. I wanna go back when you were mine.
As well as John and Xene and X. And by the way, John Doe is going to be at the University of North Dakota next year in April for a talk. So keep that on your back burner. For the karaoke singers, there's Dolly and Kenny. There are so many more worth a shout out and so little time, but I wanted to take the time to give a big tip of the hat to the late great Glenn Hansard and his singing partner Marquetta Irklova. Their voices, as the swell season, will make many a list of best male female duets till the end of time. I have been loving our next guest's laid-back, collected vibe and the way she maintains loose control over her voice. She gives it slack, and that's a very beautiful thing. She joins us with selections played just for you from her new effort, Garden of the Underworld.
Hi, my name is Allie Holder. I live in Austin, Texas. I have a new EP coming out in September called Garden of the Underworld. It's basically about the underworld journey that one takes through the bardo, the liminal space. In my case, it was post-divorce. And this is the first album I've released in 6 years. So I'm really excited to put music back out in the world. It feels like the most grown-up, sonically, I guess. And I really love it. I think it's my favorite. Those are my cats in the background. I deeply apologize. The first track, When You're Ready, is about the Bardo, the liminal space, kind of between my ex-husband and the first kind of like love experience I had after that, and kind of like the visceral excitement of it and the heartbreak of it and the reminder of the creativity inside me. Different Kind of Lonely is about how you can be lonely inside of a marriage and lonely outside of a marriage. They're just different types of lonely. One is kind of lonely that's contained, and the other one's lonely but free, at least. Moons Over the Garden is about bearing the burdens of your, you know, relationship or your partner's burdens, I guess, emotional labor, things like that. It was also written by a song exercise called a translitic, and it's where you take a poem in a different language and kind of translate it into your own gibberish, basically, until you go through many, many drafts of it, and it gives you this kind of beautiful subconscious poem that then turns into a song. Persephone is about Persephone, the goddess of the underworld, and it's about me calling on her for help, kind of in a moment of my own underworld despair. And then Damages is about having a crush on a friend who, in fact, does not have a crush on you back. And by playing the song for them, you may have damaged the relationship. Thank you so much for listening.
Disease spread. this curve dangerously. Pleaking leg with lights, wind rips right through me, knocks out all my fire, scream leaves and awakenings. Oh, the wounds they leave.
We'd like to thank you for listening today, and we'd like to thank our guests. You heard Carrie Lynn, Tim Hennessy, Willem James Cowan, and Stephen McCafferty. And of course, that last session was with Allie Holder. Opening theme by Sean Watkins in Los Angeles, California. End theme by Burkham Boys in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Mary Jones is the talent producer. Elizabeth Brousseau helps out with the digital realm. And Eric Dethridge is our editor and our producer. Last week, the piano player in the Medora musical band, The Coal Diggers, suddenly passed away. His name was Michael Smith. He collapsed in his room on a Friday afternoon. Originally from Dallas, Texas, Michael was a gifted musician. I knew him only a little bit. He was quiet. He was kind. And it was his first time in North Dakota. The other night, my two little boys were building a fort out of cardboard boxes just as the sun was going down. It was really enchanting, but I did feel the passing of time in it. Earlier that day, I could feel the first hint of fall in the air. And as I watched them play, I found myself wishing I had the magical power to expand time. Their little voices, full of laughter, drifted down the street. And I had my guitar with me. I suppose I was providing the soundtrack. I'd like to end the show with a song I wrote and dedicated to the memory of Michael Smith. The light leaving you ain't leaving me.
Walking around in the low light, trying not to think your name. I don't know what I got into, saying I was through with love out loud like it meant something. Oh, the light leaving you, leaving me. I'll sit and wait. How long must I wait for the sky?